Want to thank you personally for joining me on my website today. This is PJ sitting in the Lucy Coleman studio on a picture perfect day in Los Angeles. Oh, just so wonderful. I would go to the beach, but I'm cool and I got work to do. So I might as well get busy. Stevie Wonder.
A boy is born in hot damn Mississippi, surrounded by four walls that ain't so pretty. His parents give him love and affection to keep him strong, moving in the right direction, living just enough for the city.
Thanks a lot. Wow. New York, just like I pictured it. Skyscrapers and everything.
Hey, hey, brother. Hey, come here, Slick. Hey, huh? you look hip, man. Hey, you want to make yourself $5, man?
Yeah, brother.
Hey, look here, run this
time.
Street for me right quick, okay? Run this fucking street for me.
Hey. What? Huh? I don't know.
Give me
what? I'm just going across the street.
Shut your mouth.
Oh, no. What'd I do?
Turn around. Put your hands
behind
your back. Let's go.
The jury of your peers, having found you guilty, 10 years.
What? Come on. Come on. Get in that cell, nigga. No.
His hair is long. His feet are hard and pretty. His skin is like fog in the streets of New York City. He's almost dead from breathing in air.
Do that again. Do it again. Like this is going to be a Motown Friday. That's what it's going to be. On this Friday, the 12th of August, 2022, in Los Angeles, California, thank you for coming to my website to listen to a little music. That's Stevie Wonder, living just enough for the city. A boy that was raised in hard time, Mississippi. Oh, yeah. His mama scrubs floors and barely got a penny. His little sister went to school with clothes that was always clean but very old. The boy got frustrated because, as Stevie pointed out in this masterpiece of the introduction to How We Ended Up in the Ghetto, talked about they didn't hire colored people. Oh, I can remember the days when I walked up and down Broadway, Main Street, went downtown, La Cienega Boulevard here in Los Angeles. In my teens, 19 and 20 years old, my daddy told me before I got drafted, he said, boy, you got to get up there and hustle for a job. Go on and get there and do it. You know what I used to do? I used to go. And young men don't do that now because, and I believe rightly so. I want you to tell me whether you think I'm right in my judgment or not, but these kids won't work for slave labor the way that I did. And I'm telling you, I saw, and I want to recommend it to you because I think that each of you should check out this documentary. I checked out a documentary that my friend Kenny sent to me. I was sitting down this morning, and I wanted to, get my frame of reference on what I was going to talk about today. And he had me watch this documentary called the National Poor Documentary, The End of Poverty, on YouTube. He sent it to me. The piece is well over 2 hours, and I watched it. And as I was communicating with Kenny, I was telling him that it really made me feel guilty because, believe it or not, if you grow up in America and go through the system and get 3 college degrees and learn how to fill out an application or an introduction to something, you will find work and you will be able to live and to eat. I've always had a place to live, even when I was a young man. I never had to look long and hard for an apartment. I found one, and I could always pay for it. That was never a problem because I worked. And yeah, if you want to keep it in the real lane, I worked awfully hard for every penny that I got. I'm just that kind of a guy. Young men and women don't want to do that. They don't want to work for slave wages. And I understand that. And I'm kind of old-fashioned. I believe that if you don't work, you don't eat. An old Bible verse that I used to use years ago, but you can't use it on the millennials. And I'm telling you, they have discovered various ways to earn money, to make a living, to keep that apartment and that roof over their heads. They sleep on one-tier mattresses, maybe 3 guys to a room. But that's not extraordinary because there's a lot of Hispanics living in Los Angeles. You got whole families staying in one bedroom, a kitchen, and a living room, and a toilet. Whole families of 7 or 8 people cramped in there. That's why when COVID came out, I think that blacks and Hispanics were hit the most with it, living in poverty. But when you watch this special that I just mentioned to you on YouTube, you're going to see how the colonization process basically has brought us into the state of woe that we're in. And please, don't go to a young person and tell them to go to college the way that PJ did, because they can't afford it. They're too busy trying to eke out a living for themselves. And I understand that. Now I want to continue with a Motown favorite because it's by one of my favorite Motown groups called The Temptations. And this is a very interesting song because when it came out and I was a young man, we all thought about our partners. Who were we going to be with? And I think that The Temptations identified that if you were going to be with a gal, there were some priorities, there were some things about that lady that you expected out of her. She just couldn't come and pull the wool over your eyes. She was determined to be good or bad, up on the scale or down on the scale by the way she did things. And that's interesting because when you ask people today what makes them attracted to a partner, or even a girlfriend or boyfriend, whom, you know, whomever you want to be with, you like that person because of the way they do the things they do. Now, they took that term and they made this nice little number. And for those of you youngsters that are not used to listening to the words of a song, I want you to listen because I was having a conversation with a young man in his late 20s. And I said, you know what? I can't understand what you guys are singing about. I really don't. Some of this new music, I'm lost. But when you listen to The Temptations, and when they were in that little house in Detroit, making music. It was so, so beautiful. The Temptation.
You know you could have been a candle. I'm holding you so tight. You know you could have been a handle. The way you swept me off my feet. You know you could have been a broom. The way you smell so sweet. You know you could have been some perfume.
Wanted to, but I can tell
the way you do the things you do,
the way you do the things you do, the way you do the things you do.
As pretty as you are,
as pretty as you are.
You know you could have been a flower,
could have been a flower.
Looks was a minute,
well you could be.
You
hey.
Know that you could be an hour.
Oh yeah. Could have been a cool crook.
You know you could have been a cool crook.
Yeah, you smart.
And baby, you're so smart.
You could have been a school crook.
You know you could have been a school crook.
Go on, talk about it.
Well, you could have been anything that you wanted to, but I can tell. The way you do the things you do, the way you do the things you do, the way you do the things you do.
About that song, I remember the dance parties in the apartments and the homes that I used to frequent when I was a teenager. You know, we gave house parties, and very rarely would you go to a house party and the house party gets shot up. I don't. I remember one. Man, I remember that. God was so good to us back then. Even if we had people in the hood that we didn't like, we didn't want to shoot them up. Cut them up, slice them up. It was just a nice time. I never had a pretty girlfriend because I didn't know how to talk to girls. Didn't even know how to get close to them. Didn't know how to talk to boys there either. I didn't talk with nobody. I was what you call a capital N-U-R-D, nerd. That's what I was, a nerd. I knew my... place, and it was not in the realm of being popular at all. The Temptations, man, made me smile. And don't we need to smile today? I mean, if you look at the news headlines today, everybody's talking about that chump of a president that we had in the last term, that chump Trump, and people trying to defend his privacy when if the FBI came in my house, they're not going to find nothing. I'm not storing anything here that I shouldn't have. But I don't want to mess up this webcast talking about Trump change because that's all that is. And, you know, another thing that I learned from watching that commentary was that this 1% of the people that own about 34% of all the money are all the goods on the planet. Watch that documentary. It is worth the watch and worth filling your hearts. I want to keep you up to date. At this time in my life, I'm awaiting two medical procedures. I'm awaiting them to find out something on my prostate. I'm taking medicine, and it seems to be under control. It's not cancerous, and I'm awaiting the heart pump thing that they want to put in. So if you believe in petitioning Jah for my life, I appreciate it. I appreciate it. I've never asked for prayers before, but I'm asking for them now. I want to get my life controlled. I want to document everything that I do. And I hope that this hour that I'm taking today will help you do your life a little bit better. Let me see, what do I have up next? Let me glance and see. You know what? Here's a good one. Sung by Mary Wells, and the song is called You Beat Me to the Punch. Now, it's a relational record. We loved it because we would laugh when we would dance at this. And the gals would have on their bobby socks, their little pleated skirts. That's what they wore then. Pleated skirts, bobby socks. They wore blouses and usually had barrettes in their hair, light makeup, bosoms were always covered up, and the gals and the guys back there in the day, no one was obese. If they were, it was a glandular problem that they had. When you look at my high school yearbook, you don't see too many obese gals in that book. Women today are huge. And I think that that can be attributed to, I'm not being negative. I'm being truthful. Eating the wrong kinds of foods at the wrong kinds of time, and too much of the wrong kinds of food. Ladies, I know that a lot of our guys out there love these big hip, big bosom women. That's not healthy. It's not healthy at all. My mother wasn't that way. My aunts were not that way. The women that I grew up around were not that way. I am being critical, and I'm saying this because it's unhealthy, but sometimes that's glamorous to some men. Some men like a lot of meat. Well, but I like this one. Mary Wells did a good job. And I like the way Motown put this tune together. Ooh. It starts off with one beat rhythm. And I'll be pausing this and so that you can get a tap on what I'm saying. Listen. You hear that? Ooh. The drum starts off and then it goes, ooh. Beautiful introduction. And then Mary starts to teach us. Hear the guys in the background. And what's interesting is because on the record, and they were 45s then, on the records, they didn't have any backed up by this, backed up by that. The Motown group was a family. And they just asked some of the male singers, come on in, give us a background for Mary Wells. You beat me to the punch. And I'm giving you this history. As a matter of fact, I don't want to mess up the song. So what I want to do for you is I want to go back and start it all over again, because I don't want you to miss anything. It's the guys in the background, ooh, because Mary Wells was a solo singer and beautiful. She was fine as red wine. Absolutely. But all the Motown singers were off the charts. Mary. And ain't that the way it's supposed to be? The guy comes up and asks the girl for her name before she goes up to ask the boy for his. Not like a commercial that I saw recently. Guy tried to speak to a girl and she tried to pass him by. And so he went and gotten his whatever it was. Then she stopped to ask him what his name was. Where the record takes a twist, a turn. She said, "One day, boy, I found out that you were a playboy and that you would go away and leave me blue." Now, the first part of the record, unique. Howard Dozier. Let me see, who was it that wrote there? It was a Dozier Brothers and another man that wrote most of these out-of-sight songs. But let's listen. "I found out that you would one day go away and make me blue." So what she did, and remember the name of the record, it's called "You Beat Me to the Punch." Look at what Motown did.
"So I ain't gonna wait around for you to put me down. This time I'm gonna play my cards and walk away this very day.
What you gonna do?
And beat you to the punch. This time I'll beat you to the punch. Yes, I will. Let you know."
Mary said that she gonna beat him to the punch. She gonna leave him before he leaves her. Oh, sister. Yes. I love it. That's why I love listening to the oldies, because they make me laugh. They make me smile. It was a number one hit. But back in the day, every week from Detroit. Motown was putting out hits. Now, you really want to see some depressing videos. You go to YouTube and look up Detroit Inner City today. And it just sickens your stomach. Sickens it. Ah. Hey, what did you dance off of when you went to house parties? I'll tell you what we danced off of. We danced off of a guy that had a nightclub band. He also made music for Motown. He's gone. He offered himself, Junior Walker and the All-Stars. I'm going to play this number called Shotgun. It was a dance. We used to do that. And we used to make it like we firing a shotgun. And I know I used to dance that dance. And I had never held a pistol or a gun in my hand. But this was a hot tune that everybody danced off of. Junior Walker and the All-Stars. Ah, one of the Motown greats. Shotgun. Started off with a nice drum roll. Ra-dum, ta-dum, 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 dum. Ra-dum, ta-dum, 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 dum. Ra-dum, ta-dum, 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 dum. Hold it. That's I'll Be Doggone by Marvin Gaye. That is not Shotgun. I'm sorry for that misrepresentation. Here we go. I don't know what happened there. Ra-dum, ta-dum, 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 ra-dum, ta-dum, ta-dum.
Pick some tomatoes.
just one tenor saxophone. That's all it takes. Junior Walker and the All-Stars. He said, we going down there where they going to play the blues. And man, you used to see black people. We used to get together in spaces and dance our asses off. It was wonderful. It was wonderful. It was a time. And you know what? When there wasn't enough guys there to dance with the girls danced with each other. And I remember when I was in the Army, because this record was out when I was in the Army, we used to be in the Serviceman's Club and put that in the jukebox, and we'd be dancing with each other there. Just having fun, people. Having fun, enjoying life. Life that God has given us. Don't ever forget that. God is the one that gives us all life. Oh, this is wonderful. You know what? Somebody was talking with me and they said, well, Beyonce has a new album. And look at her children. And look at her husband. And look at this person and that person. Nah, I wouldn't know Beyonce from anybody else if I ran into her on the street. One day I was driving my SUV, my Lexus SUV, 99 Lexus SUV down La Cienega Boulevard. I remember this years ago, and Beyonce was in a gold-colored Lexus convertible, you know, the kind that I later bought me. She did influence me to buy that car because she was in there, and I don't know who was in there with her, but it was her. And I said, oh, that's Beyonce. And I just said, oh, well, but what a car. And I got me a used one. That's right. Beyonce was driving a brand new one, but I bought a 2011 Lexus convertible. I have pictures of it. I can prove it. But you know what? When we look at people that we want to be with, and I don't like ugly either, but beauty is only skin deep. Now, the temptations, yeah, that's what I'm playing, because I think I got to talk with some of you youngsters out there that think that it's all about beauty. It's not about that kind of beauty, really. The woman that I married, and I told myself when I was a young man, I said, well, I got to get married. And that's neither here nor there. But I had to get married. But I said, I'm not going to marry an ugly woman. I'm not talking about nobody, but her first name started with L. I won't mention her name because she still may be alive, and I don't want to bring discredit to her, but she was crazy about me. And she would always come down the street where I live when I lived with my grandma. And I would tell Ross, my brother, tell her I'm not home. Tell her anything, but let her be gone. She was chubby and ugly, and I didn't want to deal with it. And she knew I didn't have anybody, and I guess she thought that I was a beauty. But I'm glad she didn't get with me because it never would have worked in the first place. But I like this record because the Temptations tell me, John, beauty's only skin deep.
So in love, sad as could be, 'cause a pretty face got the best of me.
Don't let that happen.
Suddenly, you came into my life.
Then what?
And gave it meaning and pure delight. Now good looks I've learned to do without. 'Cause now I know it's love that really counts. 'Cause I know it's
only skin deep. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I know that beauty's only skin deep. Yes, indeed. Now you speak your words warm and sincere. And lets me know that your love is dear. A pretty face you may not possess, but what I like about you is your tenderness.
Yeah.
A pretty face, maybe some guy's taste, but I'll take love and in his place, 'cause I know that
beauty's on his skin deep. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you know that beauty's on his skin deep. Oh, baby. Oh, yeah. But it goes deeper than my eye can view. You have a pleasing personality, and that's an ever-living rare quality.
Yes.
Now show me a girl that's fine, and I'll choose the one with true love in every time. 'Cause I know that, and I believe that you know that beauty only skin deep. So if you're looking for a lover, don't judge a book by its cover. She may be fine on the outside.
Fine on the outside.
But so untrue on the inside.
Untrue on the inside. That's right. Don't be looking at them girls and them boys because they fine. You know, old dude got him a nice six-pack and he walking down the street, got muscles all over him, got that dimple in his cheek when he smiling and he say, hey, what's up? And you just blushing and falling off. Come on, man. Beauty's only skin deep. Here she come walking up to you. Buxom beauties and all that stuff. And then, wait a minute. Leave you down Primrose Lane. And you be looking for something. Mm. Hey, listen. Do you feel fulfilled as a black life? Do you feel fulfilled as a black man, a black woman, in a colonized country, knowing that your ancestors, your mother and fathers, your cousins, your friends, your neighbors, if you live in the inner city like me, were born black, had to work their whole lives, didn't have a silver spoon put in their mouth. You know, a lot of people can look at the Beyoncés of the world and the Jay-Z's of the world and all that money the rich people have, and envy that. I asked a young man the other night, I said, if you won a lottery for 131, they got a movie on one of the stream stations called The Lottery, I think it is. It's a black film about a black man that lives in a project that wins the lottery for $130 million. And I asked this man that was watching the movie with me, what would you do with the money? And I guess he never thought about that, but he gave me an answer full of ambiguity. I didn't get it. I mean, I expected him to say, which I told him, I said, what would you do, buy your mama a house? He said she already got one. See, he didn't get it. You get $131 million, and after you paid the taxes on that, you can keep at least $70 million, right? I would hope. What would you do with all that money? And, of course, the people in the projects in the movie heard that he won the ticket or his mama won it, and I turned the movie off. I didn't want to see the rest of it because it was a comedy and it wasn't real. But you know what? You probably would be persecuted, shot up, and killed before you got a chance to cash it because we do not know. Think about this. When would the time come when all the black millionaires and above will start giving a large amount of the ingredients of their bank accounts to pull black people up as a nation? Stevie Wonder addresses that in a Motown favorite of mine. Mm-hmm. Blowing in the Wind.
How many roads must a man walk? sleeps in the sand. How many times must those cannonballs be fired before they're forever banned? Oh yeah, let me tell you that the answer, my friend, is to blow.
Famous by Bob Dylan, sung eloquently by Stevie Wonder and Jerry Butler. I'm telling you, music was simple. The answer's blowing in the wind. I would have said this if someone asked me about the $31 million. I said I would have kept $1 million for me. And then I would have gotten a legitimate attorney and a legitimate African-American contractor and businessmen that have proven themselves to be lovers of the tribe, and to give all of it over to them to build up our communities. To get them young men in Chicago who never had a chance, the opportunity, they wouldn't have to pay for nothing, paved the way to clean up a generation of young men and young women. I'd build health centers so we can clean up all the dope in our communities, give them hope and no dope. And I mean that. And I know why people take dope. It's an escape. But give them an incentive. I give them a place to live. They wouldn't have to pay, but maybe $10 a month. Keep the rest of their money. Build up some. Man, give the $31 million to the tribe. That just sounds so much like right, right? See? Marvin Gaye, I haven't heard from him all day. Marvin says, PJ, it ain't nothing like the real thing.
Ain't nothing like the real thing, baby.
Marvin Gaye.
Ain't nothing like the real thing.
And Tammy Terrell.
Ain't nothing like the real thing, baby. Ain't nothing like the real thing.
Tammy Terrell, Marvin Gaye, both gone but never forgotten. They said it right, right, right? I'm playing Motown music from the collection that I have, right? I have the, what is it called? It's called the Motown Collection. And I'm glad that I have it because it keeps me balanced, keeps me from thinking in particularly negative about life. It keeps me on the positive level. You know what I want to do? And I'm going to look for it. I'm going to try to pull it up before I go off. I like that. Ain't nothing like the real thing. I was listening to some music yesterday, and I want to play some of it today, and it's John Coltrane. I want to play some Coltrane, and because of a number that here we are, and I'm sorry for being away from the mic. I'm looking at my deal here. Was it Coltrane? Yeah. Here it is. I just want to play. Wrong number. I'm sorry to do this to you, but I want you to listen to some good music. And, yeah, here's one. It's by John Coltrane. Sax Impression. Not sex, but Sax Impressions is the name of the album. And this number I want to end up the webcast with. Because it's what I am. You don't hear too much on my webcast because I live in a world that is not spiritual. Yeah, it's a number called Spiritual. And I want you to listen to it and see if you can pick up the Coltrane spirit. John Coltrane, as I ended up.
Thank you.
you for coming to my website today. Thank you for thinking about me. I'm thinking about you also. And I'll forever think about you. Be happy. Like a friend told me today, don't feel guilty about what colonization has done to you. And I appreciated that. Because even though I have much that God expects you to do, a lot with the much that He's given you. Do that for your community, for the tribe that you're in, for the people that you love, for your children, for your parents, especially for your parents. When I was a pastor, I loved it when I saw certain members of the church taking care of mama and daddy. That's right. If you can, don't put them in that rest home. Don't do that, because they'll perish in there. Yeah, let them live with you. Let them live out their lives. Then you can prove yourself as being, as Coltrane and his group is trying to say, spiritual.